Okay.
A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of thy enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty. Anyone ever heard that psalm before? So we continue this morning with the fourth of this Easter Walk sermon series as part of our overall walk through Lent up to the cross on Good Friday and the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. Some of you may remember that we began a few weeks ago talking about the walk of Jesus through the wilderness and through his temptations. Then after that, we looked at, God's people walking from Eden to a place called Haran. And there we met a man named Abram, who was tapped by God to leave for new lands that God would show him. Last week, we looked at the story of the Israelites walking in the wilderness after being released from slavery in Egypt and having a difficult time. They were thirsty and grumbling to Moses and to God. This week we walk with the psalmist through the great Psalm 23 as she walks through the Shadow Valley. I'll be frank this morning, right at the beginning, that my hope and prayer for each of us and all of us is that the words of Psalm 23 aren't just words, they're not just somebody else's words, but that these words are or become our words too. Let's pray. Loving God, we're called in a thousand different directions all the time. Important things call us and pick away at us. And there's precious little time for the essential, for the heart, for the things that matter most to us. So God, we thank you for this time of worship today, for your word that we can break open and there find not only the important, but the essential, to find love, to find you walking with us in the middle of our real lives. Give us your word today, God, for that journey, and give us nothing less. Amen. So Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known and beloved passages in Scripture, and for good reason, right? Some of us like the beautiful poetry we find there. Some of us like the images, the bucolic images of shepherds and streams and green pastures and also the image of a set table. Some of us like the hope and trust of the psalmist. Some of us like the fact that all of that's rolled into a nice bite-sized hole that we can take out and eat from our pockets whenever we need. Some of us like other things about this psalm. For me, though, what I like most about it, and when I find it to be so incredibly special, is I love the even-though-ness of the psalm. It's even-though-ness. You see, Psalm 23 doesn't wear rose-colored glasses, but it also doesn't succumb to despair. But right in the middle of itself, it comes to us and says, even though. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So this morning, I'm going to invite you, if you're moved, to take out your Bibles. You don't have to, but if you'd like to, It's page 474, so almost exactly in the middle of your Bible. And we'll look at it together and dig into the even-though-ness of this psalm and see what we might find. So as you're finding that, I'll direct you to look at verse 4, right in the middle. So it's the middle of the psalm, kind of in the middle of the whole Bible. And I did some counting this week, and in my version, which I was reading from, so the New International Version, which is slightly different than this, I counted that there are 41 words before the even though, and 46 words after the even though. So it's in the physical center of the passage, and that's not just a throwaway factoid, you know, because oftentimes in Scripture, what's in the center of the passage, or even the whole book sometimes, is the place where the central message is. It's Scripture's way sometimes of giving us a bright red flag, telling us to listen here and look here. This is what's most important. So if that's true about Psalm 23, and I think it is, then the even though is the hinge, right? The hinge of the central message. The even though has something to do with the central message of this important passage. So hold on to that for just a moment, and we'll see how before the even though, it's preceded by a great declaration from the psalmist about who God is. And who is God for the psalmist? God is a shepherd, a nurturing shepherd, which is also imagery in Scripture oftentimes for a king. Shepherds are often associated with kings and kings with shepherds. So we could say that God is, in this psalm, a nurturing shepherd king. Who does what? Who makes it so that we don't want, right? Fills us with abundance, as we talked to the kids about. He takes care of our bodies, gives us rest, leads us beside still waters, guides us, and restores our soul. All of that for our well-being and the glory of God. So that's part of who God is in Psalm 23. Skipping past verse 4 for just a moment, we find that after the even though, we have two verses of another declaration about who God is. And here, God is not a nurturing shepherd king. God is a gracious host, right? Who sets a table before us, though we're in difficulty, surrounded by enemies. God anoints our heads, which means that we're made to be honored guests, right? Honored guests oftentimes were anointed with oil, saying you are special exactly as you are. God is one who ensures that goodness and mercy will follow us in this life and in the life that is to come. So wedged in between these two images of God, the nurturing shepherd king, and not God, the gracious table host, is a great statement, not about God, but about where the psalmist is, right? The psalmist gets real. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? The psalmist is not walking through unicorn and rainbow valley, right? The psalmist is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, or through the darkest valley. States that outright, is real about that. Resonate with any of you? Having been in a shadow valley, maybe you're in a shadow valley today, right? That's part of what it means to be a human being. The shadows, the deaths, the brokenness, the divisions, the difficult places that come upon us as much as we try to have them not. So the psalmist comes and says, even though I am in the shadow valley, I am not alone in. Even though I am in the shadow valley, God meets me there with power and with love and with presence. Even though I am in the shadow valley, God meets me there with a nurturing shepherd's crook, but also a king's scepter to command away all that threatens me. Even though I am in the shadow valley, I am not overcome by it, the psalmist said. So putting that all together, we wonder what Psalm 23 is all about. Here's what I think it's about. I think it's a great love song sung by a suffering person in a very difficult place in her life who in that moment chooses not to run away from God, but to run right to God, trusting in God's presence and love and power, believing that God and God alone is sufficient to lead her through the shadow valley and into the new life that God intends for her and for all of us. So that's what the psalmist, a long time ago, felt and believed and wrote about from her own shadow valley. But what about you this morning? Maybe you're in the shadow valley today, maybe you're not. And even if you're not, I bet you have been. And unfortunately, I trust that all of us will be again. Part of what it means to be alive. So right from your own shadow valley, what do you feel? What do you believe? And what would you write about? Would you write about a trust and hope of God? Believing that God leads you and guides you and restores you and honors you as special? Ensures goodness and mercy in this life and the life that is to come. Is that what you'd write about? Maybe a way of saying this is, or asking this is, are the words of Psalm 23, are those somebody else's words? Or are they your words? Are the words of Psalm 23 just something you read? Or are they in you and part of you? And something that you say in one form or another when you find yourself in the shadow valley. Maybe some of us would say, yes, Psalm 23, those are my words. Absolutely. Some of us probably say, no, those are not my words, and I don't want them to be, or I do want them to be, but they're not. Maybe most of us are like me, who on some days and in some situations say, yes, these are my words. In some days, in some situations, no, these really aren't my words, even when I want them to be. So, whether these are your words or not, I'll say this. I think God really, really wants them to be. I think God wants more than anything for us to trust in the goodness and presence and love of God. I think God wants us more than anything to run not away from God, but to run always to God. And I think God, more than anything, wants us to carry around a big old bursting bucket of even those. We have courage enough to name what's really broken in our lives, but to trust also that it will not overcome us. That even though we walk through the shadow valley, God is with us and they're leading us on into new life. So I told you, I was honest. I want these words to not just be any words or other people's words. I want them to be your words and our words. And I want that for you, but I also want that so that as you're strengthened by them, you and we and all of us together can walk out these doors and engage the shadow valleys that really are there and need us to be strong and trust in the God to lead us. So let's practice. Part of making these words our words is to have them on our lips. So let's say Psalm 23 together in closing. So again, that's page 474. You don't have to, but you're invited to join us. And I will start it off, but then I'll stop speaking, but you continue. Because as we say this together, I will be praying for you that these words, as they're on your lips, also move into your heart. And they become your words for the Easter walk. Let us pray together Psalm 23. As we say with our words, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we are blessed to say this morning, Amen.